Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
If you have a podcast and want to monetize it stress-free, you need the Odyssey Creator Lab. We'll host your podcast for free, and our experienced sales team brings in the advertisers and the revenue. Easy. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
My new podcast, Crimes Of, explores the forces behind some of the most unforgettable crimes in history. Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Chris Mack in for Sammy P here on Bet Sweats today alongside Joe O. We got you covered for every single game on the Week 14 slate for the NFL this week, and we are going to get into every single game on the slate. There are some ugly ones, and I'm looking at you, Miami and the Jets. There are some big-time games that mean a lot for the playoff picture, positioning, whether teams stay alive in that playoff picture. We'll get into Texans-Chiefs later. Could the Chiefs be buried after this week? Huge battle at Lambeau between the Bears and the Packers as well. Dare we call Caleb Williams a game manager? But he might be a really good game manager, and that's okay. Lots of games to get into. Joe Burrow's return continues in Buffalo. But let's start, Joe, with what may be two of the ugliest offenses in the league. And this just... You talk about how this game just sets up the same way every single time they play it. It does. It always sets up, for the most part, 95% of the time, Steelers-Ravens always sets up the same way. Always a massive game for positioning. I think this is the first time since, I want to say, 1999, so when the Ravens officially arrived in Baltimore, that they've played each other this late in the year and neither team has a winning record. So there's something to be said for that, I guess. But it still matters a lot. Somebody's got to win this division. Both teams are sitting at 6-6. Steelers getting 5.5, going to Baltimore for a 1 Eastern kick on Sunday. Started around 6.5, and it's moved to 5.5 throughout the week. Totals come down from 45.5 to 43.5. There's a 42.5 out there I saw this morning. Ravens are coming off this mini bye after the ugly Thanksgiving Day loss to the Bengals. 9 out of the last 10 in this series, Joe, have produced less than 40 points. And given how inefficient both of these offenses have been, that's my only bet on this thing, because I can't predict what either one of these two teams is going to look like from week to week anymore. So if the number could keep dropping, it might get all the way to 40 by Sunday afternoon, and I'm still solidly on the under between Steelers and Ravens.
Yeah, a week ago, the total was 47.5, and now we're sitting at 42.5, and you still like the under, and I understand why. Identical records, almost identical point differential, Steelers -8, Ravens -4. And here we are with them matching up with the division on the line, even though, you know, it's a garbage division, but somebody's going to be the 4 seed in the AFC. They've got to be. So here's what I was alluding to earlier in the show in talking about the history of these two teams. And one of the locked in bets for a long, long time in this series with these same two coaches has been, who's the underdog? Take the underdog. Don't overthink it. Just do it. The numbers for the last 21 years, Ravens-Steelers, 21 years. Take the underdog, it cashes 71% of the time. If the dog is getting 3 or more, at least +3, 82% of the time. 23-5-3, the underdog is. Now, the last couple times that's not been the case. Most recently, obviously, the playoff. Last year,
it
really wasn't that close. And there was a late touchdown that made it appear a little bit closer, but the Ravens end up winning by a couple of touchdowns there. I'm at a point right now, and it has nothing to do with, you know, belief in Baltimore, where I'm just at a point where I kind of think that that history doesn't matter. And that's my question to you. Are we there where the Steelers are such a mess as Tomlin is being booed and seemingly everybody wants him out of town and there's no offense to speak of? The quarterback that isn't even healthy can't move the ball down the field. Can't believe it, but the defense is non-existent. Something disaster. We just haven't seen before. Like you could always depend on something in the past with Pittsburgh. Now it doesn't feel like you can depend on anything. The line is sitting at 5.5. So Pittsburgh is getting some money. It came down a little bit off the 6. It was 6.5 last week. But I ask you, are you looking at the last couple of decades and saying it's completely meaningless because things are so bad in Pittsburgh?
It's hard for me to do that because as bad as it is with the Steelers offense and defense, as you just mentioned, it's just bad as it is with the Steelers, period. As bad as it is with them, I got to believe that in a divisional rivalry game like this, they don't get blown out. And it's backed up by just the inefficiency on the Ravens side of the ball too. They haven't scored more than 23 in their last three games. You look at the teams that they put up mid-20s against, what was it, the Dolphins and somebody else middling. So they haven't been stacking up a lot of offensive material themselves either. Now, the counterpoint to that would be the Steelers' run defense is atrocious and Derrick Henry. And you don't need to say anything other than, and Derrick Henry and 4.7 yards a carry. This is why I can't go in on a side, despite the history or wanting to flush the history. I kind of take a step back and go, impossible to predict, except that I think it's a close game. So I would be inclined to take Steelers as you know, if you're giving me more than a field goal. But it's just impossible for me to predict, other than the fact that I think it's going to be an offensively ugly game. That is where I've come down on it. And there are Rodgers props out there that look like they still haven't been adjusted for his lack of ability or the offense's lack of ability to push the ball downfield. He hasn't thrown a pass longer than 31 yards since October. Yeah, I'll take the under on his longest completion, 32.5. I'll take under 32.5 attempts too, because this offense has run almost two fewer games in snaps than their defense has played. This offense is never on the field. They got out possessioned by the Bills last week, 42 minutes to 18, Joe. They get on the field, and even when they do get on the field, which is not enough, they can't push the ball downfield. Unders on everything. Unders on all the player props and unders on the points. That's where I am with this game. I think it will be particularly ugly.
Lamar did not practice on Thursday, but Monkey came out. He's like, look, he's going to play. We see this every week. There's a day that Lamar's not practicing. So Lamar off a terrible game, 5 turnovers for Baltimore. Everything that could go wrong on Thanksgiving evening went wrong for that team. Are they going to do it again? Well, we've seen some other Lamar clunkers where he's not great in the next game. Two things I saw yesterday from Sumer Sports really stood out. And I was leading this direction anyways. And then I saw this. I'm like, ooh, that's interesting. You know, you're well aware that all the Steelers do offensively when they throw it is they throw it short, very short. Mm-hmm. The highest short pass rate in the league. Baltimore's defense, first in the NFL, EPA allowed on short passes. And the Ravens, they use a ton of 12 personnel. Like, that's been the thing this year. Like, there are teams like the Rams that are going 13, but a lot of 12 personnel. Steelers near the bottom against 12 personnel. They can't stop the rush. I think it's going to be a Henry game. Yeah. So more and more is pointing to the Ravens for me, and I feel like I'm getting a bit of a discount getting this number short of 6. So 5.5, you mentioned you don't see a blowout. A 6 or 7 point game isn't really a blowout. It's going to be called a once possession game. So I do like the Ravens in this game. I think they do get right off the extra rest.
Yeah, I think that's a fair look, especially under 6. I think that sets up well with all of the points that you laid out. So I have a hard time arguing it other than, well, it's Steelers Ravens, and it's usually close. Indy Jacksonville is a massive game for the AFC South. Indy's lost three of their last four, and they're now plus money to win the division for the first time since week two. They have fallen way back down to earth. Look ahead line on this was Indy by 2.5. But Indy also hasn't won in Jacksonville in over a decade. Last time they won in Jacksonville was 2014. And Daniel Jones is playing with a broken leg, and it's Jonathan Taylor in a prayer. And Jacksonville's, I'm not comfortable betting Jacksonville. They're the Jaguars. They're still the Jaguars until they prove otherwise. But I don't see anything to stop the Colts slide at this point. It's why I'm, and we'll get to the Texans later. It's why I'm all in on the Texans in that division, because you could get them last week at 7-1 to win the South. So I don't think either one of these teams ends up winning the division. But for this game, this weekend, Sunday afternoon in Jacksonville, if I had to take a side, give me the home dog. Absolutely.
There are two teams heading in opposite directions, and you're right. Jacksonville always dominates this team. They beat them all the time when it comes to this series, especially at home. What's the reason? Well, I don't know, but I can look at this week and say, look at Jacoby Myers too. Like all of a sudden, okay, they found a receiver when they're dealing with all of the injuries on the outside there. Okay, that's positive. Also, look out, last few weeks, if you look at numbers like net yards per play, takes everything into account, offensive and defensive, they're number one in the NFL over the last 3 weeks, the Jacksonville Jaguars. Mm-hmm. And then you've got this Colts slide. When they were running hot, it was that elite run game. It was Jonathan Taylor should be up for the MVP. Don't hear that. Completely dropped off their run game. It has been non-existent. And you mentioned the Daniel Jones injury. We also have Sauce Gardner. It doesn't look like he's going to play after the injury last week. And he's been a big help to that defensive backfield. They are this close to being on a four-game losing streak. Their only win over that stretch was the Atlanta game and the international game, where they were lucky enough to force overtime at the very end. I can't find a reason to take the Colts. In fact, I think the Jaguars should be favored in this game. I'm on Jacksonville, plus 1.5, Chris.
Yeah, I hate to say that's an easy one, but it feels like an easy one right now. Like you said, given the way both teams are headed over the last month and a half. Cincy, Buffalo, Joe Burrow could be Joe Burrow. This is another interesting number. It's at 5.5 right now, opened at 6, much like the Ravens-Steelers line, has moved inside a touchdown. Buffalo absolutely shredded Pittsburgh on the ground last week. And we know what the Cincy defense is. It is tissue paper. It's awful. It's terrible. They can't stop the run. They can't stop the pass. Here's the thing, though. Buffalo's defense is giving up 28 points per game in the 3 weeks previous to meeting the Steelers' anemic offense. So the Bills' defense isn't exactly moving in the right direction either. They got a respite because they got Aaron Rodgers last week and a terrible Steelers offense. The total is at 52.5, 53.5. It's nudged up just a bit throughout the week. I think we just light the scoreboard up in Buffalo Sunday afternoon with the Bengals and the Bills. You can get both teams to score 30-plus at like 4-1 at BetMGM. I think I'm going to do that. I think I'm going to take the over as well. The Bills' defense is not good. The Bengals' defense is atrocious, historically bad.
So something similar to what we saw last night, huh? Very high total, and it meets those expectations, and we have a shootout here. Yeah, I could see that. That makes sense to me. Boy, your Steelers' inability to run against the Bills, they can't stop anything. And Chase Brown had a rough start to the season, but
he's picked it up.
They have a legit run game, and now with Burrow back, my question is, what about the defense, though? And you're right. That's why you bring up the total here. Like, there's no way they're giving up 14 or less like they did against Baltimore. Baltimore had to have 5 turnovers themselves. And I'm not giving credit to the Bengals defense, saying that they created those turnovers like we've seen out of teams like the Bears this year. Like, no, that was on Baltimore. I'm having a tough time with this game. I do have belief with the Bills, but every time I've done that this year, they come back and they throw out a clunker. Bills at home are tough. This number's 5.5 in a rough spot for me. Trends-wise, I'm not betting the game, but trends-wise, you got to look to Burrow. You've got to. And it's a large sample, and it happened again last week. When Burrow's an underdog, you back him. And the excuse a week ago was, well, it's his first game back. He's going to be rusty. He shouldn't even be playing in this game. They're forcing him back early on Thanksgiving because they're so desperate, and they're a dumb organization. Well, we saw what happened. 32 points later and winning as a touchdown underdog. Joe Burrow, when he's an underdog of at least a field goal, 18-3 against the spread. That is remarkable in a large sample size. I'm not your normal trends player, but that would give me pause to back Buffalo. I don't have a play on the game. The over makes sense. It's going to be a lot of fun to watch. I don't think James Cook is going to get 35 touches again. That was a whole lot of work against your Steelers. But I could see Chase Brown having a monster performance here. Don't forget how awful that Bills rushing defense is.
Yeah. I could see both running backs, I think. You know, going to be a matter of how Joe Brady wants to carve up the Bengals defense. Does he want to play it more conservatively and lean on Cook and sort of suck the oxygen out of the game and not allow Joe Burrow on the field as much? I think that might be an angle to play that would maybe not get you to the over if you wanted to look at it that way, and maybe get you on the side of some James Cook props. That's worth a look perhaps as well. The Monsters of the Midway extend their winning streak. Can they do it in Lambeau? Week 14 previews continue next with the 209th meeting of the Bears and Packers here on BetSweats.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
If you have a podcast and want to monetize it stress-free, you need the Odyssey Creator Lab. We'll host your podcast for free, and our experienced sales team brings in the advertisers and the revenue. Easy. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
Hey there, we're Corinne Vienne and Sabrina Dianaroga here to introduce our newest podcast, Crimes of, a Crime House Original.
Crimes of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, from crimes of the paranormal, unsolved murders, and more. Our first season is Crimes of Infamy, the true crime stories behind Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life, all told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house, something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
In for Sam Panayotovic today, I'm Chris Mack alongside my guy Joe Ostrowski. Patrick Everson of Vegas Insider and Fox Sports going to join us at the top of the hour for the third and final hour here on BetSweats. He'll give us some insight maybe on some games that we haven't gotten to yet at that point, as well as some of the ones we have previewed already. We've rolled through Steelers, Ravens, Colts, Jags, Bengals, Bills. You can always rewind inside the Odyssey app, or better yet, just subscribe to BetSweats' podcast, and you'll get everything delivered to you if you got those notifications on, and get ready for this weekend's action. I mentioned the game manager term, Joe. We talked a lot about the Steelers today. I'm a Pittsburgh guy, naturally. All right, I need the Chicago perspective on Caleb Williams, the Bears, and how deep fans and people in Chicago think they can go with this thing. They're looking to extend the winning streak to 6, but it's up in Lambeau this weekend. I would think the thought is, hey, Caleb, just stop spraying the ball all over the place. Put it where it needs to be put when it needs to be put there. We're going to lean on Swift and Manongai, and we're going to try and steamroll the Packers, who, oh, by the way, Kenny Clark's in Dallas. Devontae Wyatt's down for the year. We should be able to run on them. Is everybody in Chicago comfortable with the game manager term, or is it still looked at as a pejorative?
Don't you have to be an accurate quarterback to be a game manager?
Here we go.
I'm just saying, like, the number of off-target throws that you see from Caleb Williams, I'm fascinated. He says all the right things publicly, but Ben Johnson is not tied to this guy in any way. So it's challenging when you ask me to speak for the city of Chicago and to speak for Bears fans, because we aren't always aligned. But that is what I find to be very interesting moving forward. Because does Ben Johnson truly believe that he can do better with something else? Or is this his guy? Is he going to handpick a quarterback at some point? Or is Caleb Williams just talented enough where he can be just fine? Maybe he's not going to be a top five elite quarterback. Maybe he's not going to be Drake May, maybe, who was drafted after him. But maybe he's not going to be that guy, but he can be damn good, and he can be a top, he can have a top 10 offense to start with. And he hasn't even gotten into the part where he's handpicking his players. Like, much of the offseason was about, okay, we've got to rework this entire offensive line. And I'm sure that was the number one priority for Ben Johnson working with Ryan Poles. Fix this offensive line. They did, with a few new starters, and then eventually a fourth new starter, which we figured they would make during the season at left tackle. So he's just gotten things going. And, you know, one of the running backs, it took very late. But as far as where the Bears fans are going to be over the moon. And the reaction to the Black Friday win was, what are you going to say now? Like, yeah. I get what you were saying about the luck and the 2-minute wins, but they're doing it. They just know how to win. They're taking the knowledge they have of this sport, and they understand what involves a little bit of luck or good fortune, however you want to put it. They're willing to push it to the side, and I understand why. And where I'm at is, for the first time, I have a little bit of long-term faith because of the head coach. Like, it's not a Matt Nagy situation where you're winning with defense, even though he was going to be the next offensive genius. Andy Reid told everybody, of all my assistants, he's going to be the best coach. And we know what ended up happening there as he flames out, and because he was going to fix Mitchell Trubisky, right? And then it was Fields. But whatever. We don't need to go down that road. But there is so much trust in Ben Johnson that if he were to say, Caleb's not the guy in so many words, and you move on, okay. Whatever Ben Johnson wants, he gets right now in this town. He has built up so much equity in a short period of time. He's straight up running this town. And I think it would be like, you get a new coach and things are all looking up, and it's hard to put you there, but you've never had an offense. You've never had a quarterback. You have an offense all of a sudden. The guy that was deemed the offensive genius has been just that to start. The entire city is buying in. He can do no wrong. So that's where Bears fans are. They're kind of taking this year, at least I am, it's all gravy. Them being in the playoffs is a big positive, even though, okay, things are going to come back down next year, but they're still on the ascend with this guy.
What's it like to have a coach that you believe in to get the best out of players? It's wild.
It's the first time in my life. It's first time it's happened in my life, Chris. And that's no joke. Like, that's always been the issue. That's why you see all these numbers in the sports betting world about the Bears being so bad against the spread, because they can never exceed expectations. They never had a coach that brings out the best in their players.
I have a follow-up. And I know it's...
Yeah.
No, but... And I know you'll be honest about this. Where were you at this point with Nagy?
See, I never believed in Trubisky. I didn't know about Nagy because... Okay. And, like, people, I've received pushback on social media. You were saying the same thing about Nagy. Well, no, you weren't paying attention. Or you were saying the same thing about the Bears in this year. I'm like, no, I wasn't. Because Khalil Mack changed everything for that 1 year. And all the good fortune, and nobody was injured on the O-line from what I remember. Like, there were so many things that went their way.
Is there not a parallel to this defense and the turnovers they're creating? Like, let's see what happens next year, right? Yeah.
Sure. 100%. But I do think
Dennis
Allen's pretty good.
Yeah. Yeah, he's a good career DC who was not a head coach. I'm probably willing to give Caleb more of a benefit of the doubt. He's got to hit these throws next year that we've seen him miss by. Now, Trubisky would miss him by 20 yards, and they'd be like way up here. Like, Caleb's missing them by 5 yards. He's got to hit those next year. It's tough for me too, because there was a lot of excitement about Nagy, offensive mind. Kind of like, not the hype videos that Ben Johnson had, but he had the personality. He was playing the game. There was a buy-in. He had the cool story about the, I don't know, there's always like a rental car and quit his real estate job, you know, blah, blah, blah. There was a big honeymoon period, but the double doink broke him, like broke him in half, like lost his mind. I wonder what kind of adversity, which will eventually hit. Like, he's playing with house money this year. So far, so good.
So let's bring it back. The thing with Nagy, too, is like the verbiage was always different. Like, Nagy was always doing the game of, oh, well, it's offense 101, and now we're in offense 102. Whereas, like, Ben Johnson gets up there and says, yeah, Caleb's not good right now. He's not hitting the throws. Like, we have to, like, it's so direct and to the point, which, to Joe's point, that gives me more faith that this is sustainable, because Ben Johnson's actually saying, hey, this is what's bad. And this is what needs to change. Whereas, like, Nagy was word salad. It was, oh, well, this is like when you drive a car off the line. Shut up, egghead. Enough. Like, say what you're saying. Use your actual words. And, like, to Paul's point, Visor. Like, Caleb, like, Trubisky would miss the throws by 20 yards. And, yeah, Caleb has some of these throws where he's egregiously behind the receiver. I'll also say I've never seen as many receivers fall down running routes as I have this year. Like, I feel like at least once a game, somebody egregiously just banana peels themselves. And it's like, I don't know if maybe I'm just paying more attention now, but I feel like that doesn't usually happen. Like, DJ Moore last week, just egregious, like, sniper in the stands, just like loses his ankles on the field. Like, that was insane. I not to say that, like, Caleb's, oh my God, he's bulletproof. Like, yeah, he needs to be better, obviously, but. Then he does some of the stuff where he rolls out and just fires a dart from across his body. And you're like, oh, that's what he can do. Like, Trubisky's arm would be in the stands if he tried that.
Right.
You see what
Caleb is capable of, but you just don't see it consistently enough. And so you go, wait a second. Why can't you replicate that?
But guys, if you went hurry up with Trubisky in a playoff game, he did enough to win them the game. No, last question. Be you or good, better, best?
Like, for my team, really, what I would want to use, which one doesn't make me vomit?
I don't know.
It's
pick one.
That's a difficult, it's difficult because the new one won't, you don't hate the new one as much. At least maybe Sam does. I don't hate it because it's not nauseating yet, but after a few losses, it's going to be quickly.
Yeah.
So boy, I had a good, better, best. I'd say
that
good, better, best.
Whatever. Yeah. I mean, it's easy to say now. I wonder, and honestly, one more comparison, like Joe Madden, like that was a younger team. Like, this cheesy crap works for a year, works when you're winning, maybe two. We'll see what the next, like, iteration.
You got to change it next year.
Really quickly.
That's what happened.
Is
like,
it not working with
That was
with
the problem
Campbell?
With Nagy, too. It was, Club
Campbell?
Dub, remember? That, like.
Yeah. Oh, that's right.
That got
Club
old.
Dub.
Like, but that, like, got old so fast because you won four games the next year. And it was like, okay.
It was over.
Like, this sucks.
But, I mean, no again, it's dub. Not hokey yet, right. Club Dub. It's not hokey yet, but I also feel like Campbell may, I again, not in Detroit, could be missing something. Does he have these catchphrases, or is he just like that guy?
He's just that guy.
He's that guy who and then cries after the game. I mean, that's
like, for some reason that lasts longer than like a catchphrase, I feel like. I'm sure you get tired of if you start losing, but Lions 25-1, let's go.
Let's go.
Back to this weekend on the Bears.
Oh, yeah.
Going to Lambeau. Still plus 175 to win the division if you haven't gotten in on that yet. And this touch 5.5 for just like a half a second earlier in the week, and it's 6.5 now. People took one game from the Packers offense, Joe, and they're back in on Jordan Love in Green Bay. And I'm sorry. I can't get there. 6.5. I'm on the Bears. I think they're going to run all over Green Bay.
I have been wildly disappointed at times. Anytime you start to trust the Packers, it feels like, okay, here's a game that they should control. And then they struggle mightily. I'll point to a few things that are very interesting. We mentioned the turnover rate for the Bears, number one interception rate by far in the NFL, like so many more turnovers than any other team. I think they have more, like 8 more turnovers than any other team in the league. Jordan Love doesn't throw picks. So how does that work out on the field? And don't forget the Ben Johnson introductory press conference. He pointed out, he made it a point. He went out of his way to mention that when he was in Detroit, he loved beating the Packers twice a year. When LaFleur is asked about everything going on in Chicago, listen to some of the audio this week. He will mention every corner of this team but Ben Johnson. He will not say his name. He will not give him any credit for what has happened this year. This has been circled all year since training camp on the Packers side of things. This is a big number at 6.5. I can't wait for this game. I love that it actually means something, because I've been hearing all my life about how big of a rivalry it was. And over the last decade, I'm like, shut up. Rodgers is going to kick their ass again. Like, stop talking to me about this rivalry, because in the 40s and 50s, they were, and 60s, they were great teams. They haven't been both great in a long time outside of the 2010 NFC Championship game. I don't have a play on the side. I understand why people look at it, especially after last week, seeing that, hey, that number of 6.5 is pretty high. The sharps are on Green Bay. That's why the number's that high. It dropped this week, then it went back up. This is the best team that the Bears have faced all year. Like, Dallas is in that. Baltimore, 6-6 Baltimore team. People point to that as being one of their toughest opponents. Detroit early in the year. Philly last week. All the issues going on with Philly. This is the best team that they've faced, and they've got to face them twice in the next 3 weeks. I think the Packers win. I'm just not there on the cover. I saw that the Bears have the worst success rate in the NFL on deep passes. I could set up one for Christian Watson, one or two passes, especially with some of his other weapons out.
I want to see what happens if they can get to Love and force him into mistakes, though. I still think that's a distinct possibility.
What about Parsons?
Yeah.
Caleb's avoided sacks all year. Maybe not this time.
Yeah. I think, not to go back to the whole game manager thing and over-analysis of Caleb Williams, but just run the ball. Just run the ball. You're averaging 170 yards on the ground over the last 3 weeks. You got a 51% success rate on the ground since week 5. Just run the football. And I think Ben Johnson's smart enough to recognize that and not put Caleb in those spots where he will make a terrible throw because he's being pressured or outside the pocket, and it will get picked off and will turn the game. We got plenty of games to get into. It is Bet Sweats live on the BetMGM network. Chris Mack in for Sam Panayotovic. It might be your last chance to make money on betting the Chiefs to miss the playoffs. Can the Texans bury Mahomes in Kansas City in sub-freezing temperatures? We take a look at Week 14's primetime games next here on Bet Sweats.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
If you have a podcast and want to monetize it stress-free, you need the Odyssey Creator Lab. We'll host your podcast for free, and our experienced sales team brings in the advertisers and the revenue. Easy. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
Crimes of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, starting with the true crimes that inspired Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Rolling through the Week 14 slate of the NFL here on Bet Sweats. Chris Mack in for Sammy P alongside Joe O. Patrick Everson will join us in 20 minutes from Vegas Insider and Fox Sports to go a little deeper inside the lines on what we're seeing happen as far as the market movements and what may or may not make sense, where the public is going, and what you want to bet going into Week 14 of the NFL. I asked before the break, Joe, is it possible the Houston Texans of all teams, who Patrick Mahomes has not really struggled with at all in his career, could bury the Chiefs this weekend in Kansas City? It's a 3.5 point line. It was as far out as 5.5 on the look ahead, but has gotten very tight as people just don't believe in the Chiefs, and rightfully so. Their playoff chances are down to 12% if they lose this game. Houston, as I mentioned, a week ago was 7-1 to win the AFC South. They're now 3-1 to win that division. It is going to be cold. Temperatures in the 20s. You could argue maybe that affects C.J. Stroud. He played at Ohio State. I don't think it's that big a deal. I look at the pass rush on both sides in this game. The Chiefs' pass rush has floundered over the last several weeks, and the Texans are hitting their stride. And a month ago, when Mahomes faced the Bills, he was 3 of 16 for 61 yards and a pick when pressured. I think it's a big Will Anderson game. I think it's a Danielle Hunter game. I think it's the Texans defense just making a nightmare of things for the Chiefs, who, despite running the ball against the Colts a couple weeks ago, still haven't figured out how to do that regularly enough.
Is this just an under game?
Yeah.
It certainly feels like it.
Yeah, down to 41.5 from 43. I think 9 of the Texans' 12 games have gone under.
And yes, they're 8-3-1 to the under. The Chiefs are an under team this year. They're 8-4 to the under as well. So that's kind of where I'm leaning. And one of the big reasons is you mentioned that front for the Texans. Not only are they going against the Chiefs, they're going against a hobbled Chiefs. Who's going to be out there? That's the problem. The O-line for Kansas City has been an issue in a negative way for the entire season. And now we're talking about, okay, maybe down 3 starters. Left tackle Josh Simmons, he goes on IR. They were missing him for some time for some other reasons, but now he goes on injured reserve, out at least a month. Right tackle Juwan Taylor, he has not been practicing this week. Right guard Trey Smith, not been practicing this week. I don't know if any of them are going to be able to go in this game. And against that defensive pressure, oh man, that could be ugly. Now, Mahomes, people kind of throw it to the side, some of his numbers. He's had a terrific year. The problem is everything else around this team. And so statistically, yeah, you look at them and you can trust Mahomes and you can trust them at home. That's the thing. They're 5-1 at home. All of their issues have come on the road. I'm talking myself into circles, Chris, as far as picking a side. Like, and it's being past a field goal. I don't want to take Kansas City, not with this offensive line, going against that defense. I'm not interested in doing that, them winning by margin. But then also on the other side, okay, Houston on the road in a gotta-have-it spot. Mahomes, Reed, I know we've been saying that a lot lately, and it hasn't come through. Well, it comes through at Arrowhead. That's the difference. Yeah. And then that Houston defense, I'm not taking anything away from them. They're elite. They're top 3 easy. But they are so much better at home, too. And they're on the road in this situation. So if I'm doing anything with this game, I would look to the under, Chris.
Yeah, I think, like you said, you start to talk yourself in circles, and in that case, just avoid the side. And look at the Chiefs and what they've produced offensively. Okay, they put up 28 against Dallas on Thanksgiving. That's great. You can tell me how much better the Cowboys' defense has gotten. We just saw them last night. They haven't gotten that much better. They put up 23 against the Colts and escaped with a victory at home. They put up 19 against Denver. Okay, really good defense in Denver. I'm with you there. They only put up 21 against Buffalo because, again, they can't run the ball. They just refuse to run the ball. This offense hasn't scored 30 since having the Raiders visit back in, what was it, week 7, week 8. I think this is all under, and I would be – the only thing that would leave me concerned about that is that if the Texans get going on offense – and I don't think they're going to hang a big number or anything, but, you know, if the it's also not out of the realm of possibility that the Texans go in and win this thing, what, 24-20? Would we be shocked by that number? And no. That's going to put us almost a field goal over the number. So I think that's the safest play on this thing, though, is to go under and just count on the Chiefs not being able to produce any offense.
So if the Texans win, are the Chiefs out then?
I mean, does it – look, the schedule helps them, right? Like, they get the Chargers, who are floundering in their own way and just kind of sitting in the soft middle. You could tell me they're 8-4. The Chargers are look like they're ripe for a fall, in my opinion. You get Tennessee. Yep. You get the Raiders in Week 18. I mean, really, the only game that I would put solidly in the L column for the Chiefs down the stretch is the Broncos game. So can they lose this and at 6-7 still have a way to get in at 9-8? Look at the AFC field. That's what I would say. Look at the AFC field.
You said 6-7.
Is 9-8 impossible?
They could very well lose this game and then win out. So then we get to 10, and then they're
7.
I think they're in. I think so. They don't have to win out. So I guess I'll answer my own question. I don't think they're out, and that last seed in the AFC is more attainable at the moment than what we're seeing in the NFC. But maybe that changes because the Bills could get their 9th win. The Colts could get their 9th win. Man, it's going to be challenging, but – that soft schedule in the last month is not the league helping the Chiefs, by the way. Like, look at what they've just been going through. It's tough game after tough game, tough spot. Play Dallas there where you don't want to play them. But, yeah, I don't think it's over, but people are going to be screaming it's over if the Texans win.
Yeah, because they are going to have to essentially win out. And if they don't win out, they'll have to get a ton of help at 9-8, which, like I said, I still think the Chargers are primed for a fall off. The Colts have been tumbling. I don't think you're going to have 10 wins to get that final spot in the AFC. Maybe I'll be proven wrong. The Eagles out in LA against the Chargers on Monday night. Eagles by 2.5. It touched 3 in the middle of the week, but has come back to 2.5. Another low total here, 40.5, 41.5, depending on where you find it. Down a couple of points from earlier in the week. Philly has scored 16 or less in 3 of their last 4. And in the one game where they scored 21, they didn't do anything against the Cowboys' defense in the second half a couple weeks ago. They're coming off giving up 280 yards on the ground to the Bears. Jalen Carter is out. Omarion Hampton back for the Chargers. I don't know how much we'll see him, if it'll be more of a timeshare with him and Vidal. I don't know if it matters if the Chargers are able to run on the Eagles the way teams have the last few weeks. And they may lean on that run more with Herbert being dinged up. It sounds like he's going to play. He had hand surgery. It's his offhand, his left hand. But he had hand surgery on Monday, and it sounds like he's going to be a go for this, Joe.
Yeah, and the first real practice of the week on Thursday, they put him as limited. It wasn't a DNP. It wasn't him not even being involved. They put him as limited. He's been hiding his hand all week, but I think he's going to play. He was back out there last week. I expect him to be out there. They're not going to take it easy here. And I mentioned all those teams, 8-4, just barely in the playoff in that wild card for the AFC. So every game is going to be big for them. Philadelphia, the entire city is selling them. Get out. They're terrible. We're hearing people say on WIP, bring in Tanner McKee. Like, that's how awful it is. I swear. I've seen the clips, man. The hosts, not the crazy callers. The hosts are talking about possibly Tanner McKee. Not joking. So this is a better. This is, I know, with this team and then the amount of talent that they have, this is when you jump, right? When everybody's gone, when you're getting some value on this team, this is probably when you want to jump in. What are the chances that Vic Fangio's defense gives up 281 yards on the ground again? I don't think that's going to happen. Now, yesterday we get Jalen Carter news. Oh, he's going to be out, and he might be out longer. He had surgery on both of his shoulders. So now Carter's going to be out. And if you look at the splits with and without Lane Johnson, they're a different team. He's one of those offensive linemen that has wildly different splits with the team results. So that scares me a little bit, but I am on Philadelphia as long as this number is inside of 3. We've seen this Eagles defense get pressure on other teams. And I know a lot of it of that is with Carter, but we've seen it in the past, and they're facing a bunch of backups with the Chargers offensive line.
Yeah.
Herbert's going to be under duress, man. I kind of don't care that it's Carter. They've got other guys that can move bodies, and they're going to get there. And he was taking a lot of sacks even before all of this. So I've been looking to fade the Chargers in the final stretch. They basically had a bye last week in the Raiders, and the Raiders were still getting to them too. So I think it's going to be ugly on Monday, and I expect the Eagles to win and cover.
Yeah, the Chargers' last 5 weeks hasn't exactly been murderer's row. Vikings, mm-mm, Titans, Steelers. Huh. They got blown out by the Jags in Jacksonville, but then they came home and got right against the Raiders. Now all of a sudden it stacks up. Eagles, Chiefs in Kansas City. They got to go to Dallas, okay. Then they get the Texans at home, and they go to Denver in the finale. This is why I'm telling you 8-4 is not really 8-4. The Chargers could end up 9-8, and I would not be shocked in the least. The Chargers could miss the playoffs, and I would not be shocked in the least, because that attrition that you get from the backup offensive lineman having to play constantly, Herbert getting hit constantly, and credit to him for gutting it out and playing this week, but it's going to wear on everybody on that side of the ball. And I think there's a downfall coming in the final 5 weeks. Lines are moving. We've got insights for you from one of the best, Patrick Everson, a Vegas insider and Fox Sports. Going to join us next as we continue to roll through week 14 here on BetSweats on the BetMGM Network.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
If you have a podcast and want to monetize it stress-free, you need the Odyssey Creator Lab. We'll host your podcast for free, and our experienced sales team brings in the advertisers and the revenue. Easy. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
My new podcast, Crimes Of, explores the forces behind some of the most unforgettable crimes in history. Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.